Now, I don't know if some of you remember this, but boy, I do. Do you remember where you were on 9/11? Yes, I do too. Do you remember how shocked you were? In fact, I was so shocked at first, I just thought it was some kind of an accident, you know, that somebody mistakenly had done that. I was actually on the phone with a pastor that has a street church in New York. And I was talking to him on the phone. And he was just proceeded to freak out. And I was like, whoa, this guy's excitable, you know. And here, I how odd. You know, I've never spoken to him before or since. And that's it was just such an awful thing. Anyone who lived through that day, you know, will never forget that. But, you know, did you hear the announcement today? If not, I'll repeat it. The United States has suffered a sneak attack. The entire population of the following American cities have been destroyed: New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Dallas, Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, St. Louis, and Atlanta. Now, there has not been another sneak attack, but over 53 million people, more than the entire population of all of those cities that I mentioned, has been destroyed by abortion since 1973. The number of American children killed by abortion every year is roughly equivalent to the number of United States military deaths that have occurred in all of the wars that the United States has ever been in combined. We have become a nation with so little regard for human life that nobody even really talks about this issue anymore. Many have tried to turn it into a political issue. That way we won't talk about it, because we all know how much we avoid politics. Many have tried to turn it into a personal preference issue, so it's none of our business. But the fact is, preborn children are the most non-political people on the planet. And preborn children are the most defenseless people on the planet, in a culture where we insist that we protect the defenseless. There are some sociologists who believe that our disregard for preborn children has contributed to our disregard and the devaluation of children in general. Have you noticed how people just don't value children anymore? If you're a parent, you can't even let your child go to the corner grocery store anymore without worrying about them. And many sociologists point to the fact that we have devalued children. With the proliferation of crimes against children, there are those who point to this line that we crossed in 1973 that relegated children to property status, something that we can do with as we please. And they believe that has contributed to this terrible, terrible boom of crimes against children that we have. Well, if you haven't figured it out yet, this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. It's a day when we pause to remember the millions of little ones that could have been children, but who never lived to see the light of day. But it's something that we've just gotten so accustomed to. You know, back when the abortion issue was being debated, there were those who said it was the beginning of a slippery slope. And many said, oh, you know what? It is a very small, small step from abortion to infanticide, from infanticide to euthanasia, from euthanasia to suicide. And those who argued about this slippery slope, they were ridiculed. They were like, well, that's so different. You know, you can't say that those things are alike. But now, all these years later, we are seeing some of these results. We are seeing that we are steadily sliding down that slope. A big issue in the courts today is euthanasia. Each and every day, it's more difficult to hold the line against those who just think that euthanasia is mercy killing. There are those today who try to convince us that suicide, just like abortion, is just none of anyone else's business. I want us to think about some things this morning, just to think about some things. The significance and the consequences of the direction and the course which we seem to be following. I just wanted us to chew on it this morning a little bit. There is a great clash in our country, you see, between the concept of sanctity of life and quality of life. Keep those words in your head. sanctity of life and quality of life. And we hear these discussions all the time, but I don't really think we understand the full implications of what they mean. Because you see, sanctity of life is a spiritual issue. Sanctity of life is a religious concept. The word sanctity means holy and sacred to God, something God has created that is of value. It's a spiritual concept. However, if there are atheists or humanists or unbelievers of any kind, you know, there's no such thing as sanctity of life. Unless there is a God who has given us a spirit that sanctifies us, there can't be any of sanctity of life understanding. Do you know Paul Gauguin, the famous artist, wrote it on the painting before he attempted suicide. Where do we come from? What are we? Where do we go? The answers are nowhere, nothing, and nowhere. Life is a matter of protoplasm. Carl Sagan said that there is and never has been anything in the universe but matter. So if someone has, you see, that kind of a non-spiritual view, the perception would be that all that there is the physical, that's all you get is the physical. And if the physical is all that you get, if the physical is all that there is, then the quality of that physical life becomes the only thing that matters, the quality of that life. Now, I want to say something really radical. Are you ready for this? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life. So you see, it's only from a purely atheistic or humanistic or secular view, you can use any one of those words, that someone can decide that a life should be valued depending on what that life looks like. You see, quality of life is a physical concept. There is no one who can look at another person and decide the quality of their soul. If life is only molecules in motion, though, then we should have just a quality of life ethic. But when we are Christians, when we believe that there is an infinite, eternal, and an unchangeable God who is a spirit, and that he has given us everlasting spirits, and if in addition to that we have an unalienable right to life, then we can't buy into that kind of thinking. Life is sacred then to us. You know, years ago, Newsweek contained an article about when human life begins. They don't really talk about it so much anymore because everybody kind of knows. And it says, it said in the article that everybody has always known that biologically, life begins when chromosomes come together. Now, it went on to stress that historically, biologists have always known human life happens at conception. But, okay, and here's the big but, and here's Newsweek's understanding. Newsweek went on to ask, but when does that life take precedence over the health or the happiness of the mother? Okay, do you see the line that was crossed there? You see what Newsweek was suggesting? They were saying that one human being can kill another human being because they had just made the case that life begins in the womb. So that they were saying that one human being can kill another human being if they do it for their own happiness. You see, Newsweek made the argument that a mother's happiness takes precedence over a baby's life. Another doctor who practiced infanticide of imperfect babies said that he always recommended abortion to preserve the happiness of parents. That when an imperfect baby was going to be born, he pressured, and they all pressured, the team pressured parents to always abort that fetus because their happiness was at stake. And he also went on to say that it was for the well-being of society. You know, it was for the well-being of society that mass euthanasia was practiced in Germany. We kind of forget that because we've come a long way from there. You see, we are on this slope because we kill for happiness now. We kill for convenience. Government statistics, last published in February of 2012, you can look this up on the internet, said that 86% of all abortions are performed for the convenience of the mother. You know, Dr. Malcolm Watt, he gave a speech to California Medical Association. He said that the sanctity of human life has been a part of every Western civilization. That you can tell the quality of a civilization by how they treat their children, both born and unborn. The sanctity of human life, you see, is what Jesus brought into the world. It's the Jesus difference. We need to change the way we think about this. You know, the quality or the sanctity of human life was held and maintained by the early church. And it was that value of life that overturned the pagan heathenistic ways of life. They were sacrificing their children to Molech when in the Old Testament. They were in Greece, they were sacrificing their children to the Greek gods. But sanctity of life, you see, changed all that. It changed the way life was perceived. It is an odd view that we cannot ignore. It's the foundation of this country. Did you ever wonder why, when this country was formed, that it was the Christians who made all the orphanages? Because of sanctity of life. Did you ever wonder why it was always the Christians who started all the hospitals? Well, now it would be for the buck, but back then it wasn't. It was because they cared about people and life, and it was a sanctity of life issue. Now, Watts said that the traditional Western ethic has always placed great emphasis on the worth and equal value of every human life. This is what he said. Regardless of its stage, regardless of its condition, he said, since the old ethic has not been completely replaced, that it is necessary to separate the idea of abortion from the idea of killing. You see, he was making a case. And the result, haven't you noticed, there is this incredible avoidance of the scientific fact that when human life begins. Nobody talks about that anymore. And we know that when human life begins, it continues till it dies. You know, it doesn't go any different way. When human life begins, it continues till it dies, no matter where it dies. You know, one of the nation's leading pro-life advocates, medical doctor, talking to another medical doctor, he runs an abortion center, he said, don't you realize that these are little human lives that you're killing? And the other doctor said, I'm not an idiot, of course I realize they're human lives. But there's a lot of money in it. And it has become a tremendous industry in this country. The former president of the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology said that the idea of abortion is not only deeply disturbing to our traditional concept of the inherent value of all human life, but it is potentially shattering to the foundations of Western civilization. Just yesterday on television, there was an advertisement. Maybe you've heard this advertisement. And they're talking about a resource in this country that we are running out of. Has anyone seen this ad? Do you know what the resource is? People. They're saying that we are running out of people in this country and that we are not going to have enough people in this country to maintain life as we know it. They were saying that they were advocating education, they were advocating some other thing, but it was actually an advertising saying, hey everybody, you know, we've got this resource in this country that we're running out of. And it was humans. I can't remember how they put it. I should have taped it. We could have shown it up here. We are dealing, you see, with the destruction of Western society. We need to come to terms with that. The foundational Christian ethic that rid the Western world of paganism is the sanctity of human life. And it is just a small step from infanticide to euthanasia. Because you know what? We will go from the happiness of the mother to the happiness of the parents, to the happiness of society. A governor of a large state already said it is the duty of old people to move over. And you can read into that all you want. Bless you. A professor of a major institution said it is the duty of old people, it is our duty to help aged people shove off. You know, occasionally there's legislation that has attempted to set limits on life, and it's distasteful. It doesn't go very far. So you know what the move is? Let's just withhold medical treatment for those over a certain age. That's the new thing. The enlightened now talk of helping the old to graduate. Well, you understand what that means, don't you? Do you remember how Nazism began? If you are old enough, do you remember how this began? Hitler exterminated over 273,000 people before there was a Holocaust. Do you know who they were? Do you guys remember who they were? I just read about this, and I went to the Holocaust Museum in Washington. The first to be killed were the elderly. They were considered an economic burden. They detracted from happiness of society as a whole. Then they eliminated the seriously ill, including diabetics and epileptics. That would take a toll on our church. Then they eliminated the mentally challenged. They eliminated the physically handicapped. And they eliminated defective children, including bedwetters. They also eliminated children with badly deformed ears. They eliminated then World War I veterans who were still in hospitals, who were still needing to be treated for whatever reason. Those who support abortion, we need to tell them, you better kill them all. Because the babies who survive might surprise you, Grandpa. Because with increasingly more and more old people and with increasingly less children, we've killed 53 million of them, the financial burden in this country is going to be enormous. If I were a prophet, I could pretty much tell you that if we continue on the way we're going, the little group of remaining children, you know what? They are not going to tolerate the financial burden that we are putting on them. When Social Security began in 1940, 159 workers supported every one on Social Security. As the program increased, which was by 1945, 42 adult workers supported every one on Social Security. Then it went down to 20, then it was 10, then it was 5. In 2010, 2.9 workers supported every one on Social Security. Soon it's going to be 2 to 1, you know. And soon there either won't be Social Security, or half of everything that people earn are going to be, it's going to go to support us old geezers. And they're going to shout that something ought to be done, that there ought to be a law. And then there will be a law. We are a long way down, you see, this slope. You know, it is time that America repented of its sin and acknowledge what we have done. We've done terrible stuff. We need to repent. We need to ask God's forgiveness for this nation, even if we have never had anything to do with this. We need to plead as intercessors for America. You know, if statistics hold true, there are those of us here this morning who have had abortions. Now, that doesn't mean we don't grow. It doesn't mean we don't recognize our mistake. It doesn't mean we don't change our minds. And we remember that there is no mercy with man, but there is great mercy with God. And that he will pardon those who acknowledge their guilt, confess their sins, and turn to Jesus for forgiveness. He died for the old. He died for the young. He died for the born. He died for the unborn, because you see, life has a sanctity to it. Life has a holiness to it as far as God is concerned. He's the one who created it. He's the one who died for it. Can we even imagine what history is going to say about us? I mean, I try not to think about this in terms of the church, but I have to admit, you know, what is history going to say about the church? Who stood by and let 50 million children die? Do you ever wonder what they're going to say about us? I mean, I remember thinking bad things about the church in Germany that turned a blind eye when the Holocaust happened. Did you ever think about that? I think about that. You know, where was the church? I said that one time. I preached. Where was the church after I had been to the Holocaust Museum? And one of the oldest members of my church took me aside and she said, "We didn't know. They didn't tell us." And she said, when we found out, you know, we were terribly grieved, but we didn't know. Well, what's scary about that is we do know. We do know this is going on. What will history say about a nation who murdered 50 million of its own babies? We need to pray for our courts, and we need to pray for our government, and we need to pray for the American people, that God would open our eyes and that we would see what we're doing to ourselves, and that we would just change our mind about this whole deal. We need to pray for the courts that God would open their eyes as they continue to hear cases of assisted suicide and limits on medical treatment. Life is holy unto God. All life. You know, these are painful decisions. But the consequences of deciding against God's word and God's law are staggering. I don't want to be on that side. You will only know that life is holy when you know the Holy One who died for you. That's the bottom line. There's forgiveness, there's mercy. You have to ask yourself this morning, have I received these things? If you never have today, it's a good day to come to the cross because we need to be on our faces before the Lord. You need to understand that your soul has infinite value. You need to understand, no matter who you are loved unconditionally by an all-powerful God of the universe that cares whether the light turns red when you leave church this morning. That's how intimately God wants to be involved in your life. Do you remember our scripture reading this morning? It's been a while ago. Whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. That's what the beginning of that says. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, the devil, our enemy, is delighted with our infatuation with death as a solution to the problems of life. And we see it in our families. We see it in our friends. They somehow think death is the answer. Help us to turn from death and to repent. Help us to say to you, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This morning, I turn to Christ. This morning, I admit I want life, not death. Father God, I want to know your goodness. I want to know eternal life in Jesus. And Lord, we pray in agreement that you would open the eyes of America, that you would change our hearts, that you would change our minds, that you would help us to value and hold precious the life of every child, no matter where they are, and bring repentance to the people, Father, we pray. And open the understanding of our judges so that they will not decide in favor of death, but that they will always decide in favor of life. And we pray, Lord God, that you would give us wisdom for Jesus' sake. Amen.